Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame?
How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?
But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself.
The Lord hears when I call to him.
Be angry and do not sin.
Honor your own hearts on your beds and
be silent. Offer right sacrifices. There are many who say, who will show us some good?
Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord.
You have put more joy in my heart
than they have in their grain and wine about.
In peace, I will both lie down and sleep.
For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday in Lent is from Exodus chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people, and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses throughout all the land of Egypt. The land was ruined by the swarms of flies." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 5. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. "Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest. And finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, now what? Last week we dealt with what we weren't supposed to do as far as our reading for this week is concerned, and that was to lust. It was that desire for the things that we aren't supposed to have. And as you're going through our reading, you probably noticed that this week we're dealing with pretty much the same topic. You heard Paul talk again about how there is not supposed to be any filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking among us as Christians. There certainly is not to be any sexual immorality or impurity or covetousness. But we already covered that pretty well last week, so this week we're going to be focusing a little bit more on, well, what are we supposed to do then? Or in other words, well, now what? Now that we are Christians, how are we supposed to be living our lives? So, this week, we're going to be focusing on being imitators of our God as beloved children. On walking in love, just as Christ loved himself for us. We will deal with one kind of negative side of things, or something that we're not supposed to do, which is that we are not supposed to deceive. We are not supposed to allow deception into our lives. And lastly, to kind of sum everything up, we're going to talk about walking as children of light. So let's get into it. Let's start with being an imitator of God. After all, God is our Father, and we are, in fact, to our complete surprise, probably, his beloved children. I'm sure that you all know how this works. You all know how a child imitates their father. They are going to want to do whatever dad is doing, even if dad doesn't really want them to do what they're doing. They're going to use the same words that dad is using. They're probably going to even want to be doing maybe a similar job and things like that. And this is how we are supposed to imitate God. We are supposed to be striving to be like him because he is our Father. This is sort of a natural thing to do, but it's going to feel unnatural to us because of our sinful nature. And it's probably worth pointing out that this is genuine imitation. This isn't us mocking God. I'm sure you've seen this as well. You've all seen a movie or read something about how people were kind of imitating them for the point of making fun of someone. This also isn't hypocrisy. We don't just do what we think the right thing to do is because we want everybody to see us doing the right thing. That is not the imitation that we are called to here. We are called to imitate our Father because He is our Father, because He is our God, and because we know that He is doing the right thing. But of course, He's not the only one who we are supposed to be imitating. We are also supposed to be imitating Christ Himself. You saw this in our reading. We are supposed to walk in love as Christ did. And Jesus showed us what true love really actually looks like. Because it doesn't look like true love's first kiss. It doesn't look like letting someone mutilate themselves because they think that they want to. It doesn't look like lying to someone because it's easier than telling the truth. What it looks like is it looks like dying for them. That is what Christ did for us. He died for us. He reached out to us with the truth, with how things really are. And that is the love that we are supposed to walk in. And there's kind of two aspects of this. When we talk about walking in love, this, of course, means that we are supposed to share that love that has been given to us. We share the love of Christ that He shared with us when He died on the cross. This may even mean to the point of dying for them, if that is what is required. But this also means, as we walk in the love of Jesus, that we are to live in that love. That we are to remember that Jesus died not only for the world, not only for the people around us, but that He also died for us as well. And we, as His younger brothers and sisters, as children of God, get to live in that truth. We get to live in the truth that our salvation has been earned for us, that it is accomplished, that we are forgiven because of Him. And part of this living in that love, part of recognizing that truth for ourselves while we share it with those around us, means not letting people lie to you about Jesus. This is that avoiding deception part in our reading. Let no one deceive you with empty words. I am sure that all of you have met someone who uses a lot of words to say nothing. What's even worse is when they try to lie to you by simply spewing words out at your face. All of which is to say that we need to pay attention to who you're listening to. We need to pay attention to what they're saying. Pay attention to what they mean and to what they believe. For many have fallen under the wrath of God. This is to say, pay attention to the people who you're listening to on the radio, the people that you're watching on the TV, the people that you're listening to in a pulpit. All of that, pay attention to them. Do not allow them to lie to you. There are many, many, many people who will try to tell you what Jesus wants you to do with your life. And the best way to know what Jesus wants you to do with your life is to go and read what Jesus said about what you should do with your life. It is to say, simply read the Bible, or listen to the Bible, or watch the Bible, depending on what version of listening you feel like doing. Once you become familiar with the Jesus of the Bible, it will become more and more difficult for people to lie to you about Jesus. And we are blessed that we live in an age where this is remarkably easy. Any of us can pull out our phone and have the Bible on it. Any of us can go on YouTube and listen to the Bible being read to us. There's even nowadays several kind of video adaptations, though you got to be a little bit more careful with those. You are free to take advantage of those opportunities. Because ultimately, what our Lord wants us to do in our life right now, now that we are Christians, now that we are his children, is he wants us to live as children of the light, to walk as children of the light. Have you ever been around someone who is a light for you? I hope that you have. That you have someone who is just a breath of fresh air when you're with them. That you have people in your lives who are standing against the darkness, speaking the truth to you and to the world around them. That you have people in your lives who actually care about you, who serve as those who are children of the light in your life. And it's easy to spot these people. It's evident in their fruit. That is to say, it's evident in the things that they do and they don't do. Their works, their deeds. You can recognize them. And you, too, are free to be that kind of person in the lives of those around you. But that's hard, isn't it? It's difficult to do. And ultimately, we recognize the truth that if we're trying to do this on our own, that we are too weak to succeed. We can't do it by ourselves. We have been too weakened by our sinful natures. This is why Jesus had to come and offer himself up. Because even now, even when we have been strengthened by the Holy Spirit who he has sent to us in our baptisms, when we are forgiven every week that we come and hear that truth, when we come to receive the Lord's body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith, we are still too weak to do anything by ourselves. But Jesus did come. He does come to cleanse you of your sin in baptism, to send the Holy Spirit into you. He does come and forgives you of your sins through both my words, as you just heard, and through his very own body and blood in just a few minutes to strengthen you in your faith. And he does this. He strengthens you and empowers you to be lights in this world, to walk in love as Christ does, and to live as beloved children of the Father. Because he does love you. He does care for you. And he does want you to be his children, both now in this world, but also forever into eternity. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.